الرحيم. إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة. إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا. وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون. في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين. يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما. وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين. ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين. وأصحاب الشمال ما أصحاب الشمال في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم لا بارد ولا كريم. إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك مترفين وكانوا يصرون على الحنث العظيم وكانوا يقولون أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئنا لمبعوثون أو آباؤنا الأولون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So brothers and sisters, today is Friday, and today is the day where we are guest of the last Imam, the Savior of mankind. And although we will be discussing, inshallah, practical tips on how to better ourselves, how to change our families, how to make our families loving families, it doesn't mean that we've forgotten the big picture. Actually, we remember and we see and feel the struggle of the oppressed, whether it is here, at home, or abroad. And actually, when we see the chaos, it makes us want the return of the Imam even more and feel that sense of responsibility to hasten the reappearance of our Imam more. What happens is that the masses, the oppressed, they need a solution. But the only solution, brothers and sisters, is Islam. The solution will never be found at the ballot box, even though some are trying to take it in that direction. This is not about replacing one taghut with another. This system has inherent flaws. I don't think any Muslim in their right mind would be voting for Trump in November. I mean, who can forget the interview with CNN where he says, "I think Islam hates us." But it doesn't mean the opposition, Joe Biden, or as Trump calls him, Sleepy Joe, is any better or more of an option. Actually, he, or you and I, we really should say those who handle him. Because, I mean, the poor guy, I mean, the guy is diminished. He really doesn't have it together. Those people who are handling him, they'll be running the real show. This poor guy, I mean, I don't know when you and I will finally start to call it what it is. It seems like elder abuse to keep forcing this poor guy to run. Maybe you've seen the interview where Trump was asked. He said that, name one good thing about him, about Joe Biden. He thought for a long time and he couldn't come up with anything. And he said, well, if I was going to say anything, I would say experience. He said, but if he can't remember what he did yesterday, then how does that experience? So the opposition, or even brothers and sisters being fooled by the initiative that's being taken by certain well-meaning members of the community. We have, for instance, on the national level, we have certain athletes, star athletes, Hollywood personalities, a movement called More Than a Vote. And you even see some star NBA players saying that, "I hope such and such becomes the president." But you and I, when we hear these things as mu'mineen, we're saying, we've seen what happened when these same athletes, the same people were promoting More Than an Athlete before, then their interests were threatened with China. I know many of you remember this. Their interests were threatened with China. Suddenly, More Than an Athlete becomes, I just sit and I dribble. I have nothing to do and to say about this oppression. So brothers and sisters, this is about a system of Pharaoh and Yazid, not replacing one face with another, but reestablishing the kingdom of God on the face of the earth, creating that situation where Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam, and may Allah hasten his reappearance, is the ruler. As Allah says in the Quran, Surah 16, verse number 36, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ. And we certainly sent in every community, in every ummah, in every nation, رَسُولًا, a messenger. أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, what was the message of that messenger? أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, worship Allah, وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, and avoid, shun the taghut. Brothers, worship, brothers and sisters, worship in Islam, in Quran, doesn't only mean taking someone as a deity, but rather it covers that broad meaning of worshiping someone in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's also worship according to Quran. So what happens is when you and I are discussing these things that we'll be talking about, inshallah, today we're going to get into today's topic, and we're talking about how to better ourselves, better our families, it's because we know we play an active role by doing this in the coming of the Imam and the salvation of mankind and ridding the world of this chaos, in liberating the globe. When we're improving our character, working on our character, then God sees that. And as we have in that verse of the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ God will never change the situation of a people until they change themselves. So the encouragement is there from Ahlul Bayt. In this hadith from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, he says this, إِنَّ أَكْمَلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا The believers who are most perfect in iman, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا are those who have the best akhlaq, those who refine their character, those who are moving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smoothly in their smaller circles, as well as having their eyes on the global picture and even on the social and national level. So brothers and sisters, we've covered some very important topics when we're covering, this is the last of our lectures on the concept of love in Islam, a very, very important topic. We talked about the idea of creating a special, proper, loving relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the living Imam, the Imam of the time, in order to be able to love one another properly. We also talked about that real need that we have to love and be loved. We talked about, or we covered the concept that love comes from above in Islam. We believe Allah is the one who casts loves between us. And then our discussion became very practical and very hands-on. We talked about the idea of breaking the curse, of bringing love and mercy into our own families. Now that we realized, when we learned from the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, how much our family members, as human beings, have the need to be loved, then that created the motivation in us to say, okay, well, how can I make sure that these individuals are loved? How can I try my best to even have romantic love in my life? Just because it's a need, it's something that we're pushing ourselves towards. So what happens is, that was an important responsibility. Today's discussion is going to be, again, some more practical steps about how to create those loving bonds in our families. Even if we came from a situation where our parents were not anbiya, or even we ourselves, when we look at ourselves, we weren't up until now. We haven't been that perfect loving spouse, that perfect loving father, that ideal loving mother, not in the way that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have expected from us. We haven't been that. How do we change things going forward? So the topic of today's discussion, brothers and sisters, is demonstrating and communicating our love through behavior towards others. How do we demonstrate love through our behavior and our interactions with other human beings, our family members, our co-workers, other mu'mineen and mu'minat? We covered the topic of the importance of verbally expressing love. And that's necessary, that has its own proper place. We talked about that kind of extensively. I do want to share, brothers and sisters, that what we learn from Islam is that it's not only women and our daughters who need to hear those loving words. That's very important. As we learn from the hadith, Allah is more kind to women. He's kinder to women. We learned a hadith before that if you can make someone who is a woman, who is a mahram to you, happy, how much that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talked about these things, but we don't want to forget when we're dealing with, let's say it's a sister now who's listening to this, and she wants to deal with her husband in the appropriate way, or her father, or her sons, young men, old men. It doesn't mean that they also don't need to hear these words. They also need to hear these words. If you take a man who seems very tough, very macho, and alhamdulillah, our Muslim men are, their alpha males, very strong. If you see this same person with his mother, he's a different animal. It's like you take sugar, you take a cube, you put it in tea, person melts. Love. We all have that need for love, and we're supposed to express this through words. As Imam Ali alayhi salam says, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ There is nothing أَجْلَبُ لِقَلْبِ الْإِنسَانِ that attracts the heart, the qalb of insan, the heart of insan, that's more ajlab than min lisan. مَا مِن شَيْءٍ أَجْلَبُ لِقَلْبِ الْإِنسَانِ min lisan. The tongue, verbally expressing our love and sharing our tender feelings and how much we care about people. I will add this point, though, for our sisters who are listening, the idea that when we are expressing this for our husbands, for instance, that we want to make sure that this is coupled with respect, right? We don't want the case that a wife is trying to do this, and of course she's trying to do this, but she's pouring out affection, but it's not being received because it's not coupled with respect. So men and women need respect. This is necessary in order for that love to be effective. The man as the wali of the house needs to have that position as the wali of the house respected. We don't want the husband to feel from his wife when she is pouring out affection and being very appreciative, hugging as we talked about in the early hadith, that he simply feels like a teddy bear. And he doesn't feel like a wali or a qawwam as the Quran says. We need to make sure that that takes place as the Quran, as the hadith from Prophet Muhammad says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مِّن بَنِي آدَمْ سَيِّدْ. Everyone has a leadership role. فَالرَّجُلْ سَيِّدُ أَهْلِهِ. The man is in charge of his family. وَالْمَرْأَةُ سَيِّدَةُ بَيْتِهَا. The woman is in charge of her house. So, but the who's in charge of the entire family? الرَّجُلْ, as we learn from the hadith. So that means that at the times where we disagree, how would we demonstrate the position that the husband has as the wali, as the head of the household? It would be in those times when there's disagreements in the family. And we're not talking about, obviously, disobeying Allah. We're talking about the direction of the family. And the wife willingly, cheerfully, in a feminine way, defers to her husband without attitude. That's how she's going to show that he is the wali of the house. He's the qawam, as the Quran uses. The hadith says this, again from the Prophet, مَا إِسْتَفَادَ إِمْرَأٌ مُسْلِمٌ فَائِدَةً بَعْدَ الْإِسْلَامِ. No man gets any benefit after Islam أَفْضَلْ مِنْ زَوْجَةٍ مُسْلِمَةٍ, which is better than a Muslim wife. What is she like? The hadith Prophet says, تَسُرُّهُ إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا. When he looks at her, he is pleased. She dresses up for him, she is dresses appropriately, takes care of herself for him. But the other part is very important. That wife who is beloved is the wife who obeys. وَتُطِيعَهُ إِذَا أَمَرَهَا. She obeys him when he says that this is the direction we're moving in. I've listened to you, full respect, alhamdulillah, this is the direction we're moving in. The proper way to demonstrate love is going to be through that obedience and that respect. Now, on to our main topic, which is the topic of how do we demonstrate and communicate our love to others through our behavior. We talked about words, those kind words, everybody needs them, but now behavior. What happens is, brothers and sisters, that our ulama have taught us that sometimes our behavior has unintended results. Sometimes it has results, no matter what we intend, the results are there. Sometimes behavior can carry a very positive message. Sometimes behavior, although it's not intended, it can carry a negative message. So let me give you some examples, and then after that we'll move to the practical part of the discussion. Let's say there's a father. This father in his house, he has not learned the way of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam when it's come to household chores. So the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the hadith is this: up into the door is for Fatima, outside of the door is for Ali. Up into the door, inside the house, for Fatima, outside, for Ali. But what we have in the seerah of both Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam is that they would help out in the housework. They'd help out. And many rewards for this. But let's say there's a father, he hasn't heard these ahadith. If you ask this father, your wife, you come home and your wife is preparing the meal. You don't help set the table, you don't help with the dishes, you don't help with anything inside the house. You come, you have your tea, you relax, you turn on the TV, you watch ESPN. We'll ask that father, are you intending to teach your children that helping mommy with the chores is not important? Was that intended? I never intended. Of course you have to help mommy with the chores. He didn't intend it. The behavior had a result that he wasn't intending. But brothers and sisters, we don't live in a vacuum. Sometimes we behave in a certain way. It carries a certain effect. For another example, Let's say it's a mother. The mother, now what happens is instead of her hearing those beautiful hadith from Ahlul Bayt about obedience of the husband, she stands up to her husband. She puts her foot down. She gets things done her way. Israel asks the mother, are you intending to teach the children that your father holds no authority in this home? Was that the intention? Were you trying to have a weak father and raise weak sons? Raise daughters who don't feel satisfied by the love that their father offers because he's a weakling? Were you trying to do that? Never in my mind. But again, we don't live in a vacuum. The behavior, standing up to the father, getting your way through being stubborn, carries a message. It's not intended. So, what we want to talk about is now these, first some negative behaviors that demonstrate that I don't care about the family, I don't love my family members, and then after that, what we're trying to talk about is positive behavior that demonstrates, not only with the tongue, but through my behavior, that I love my family members. Right? So, a couple of examples. First, some negative examples. Two negative examples, and after that, some positive examples. One of the negative examples that makes a person feel unloved, so this could be me now as a father. It could be one of our sisters as a wife. It could be a child, a sibling. I'm dealing with my brother or my sister. I'm dealing with my parents, a child dealing with parents. It could be me as a father who has my own children dealing with my parents, with the grandparents of the children, right? All of us, we're in our circles. What is one negative behavior that shows through behavior and through action that I don't love the person? I'm not intending this. It carries that message. One of them is when we're not fair to the person. If we're not fair to the person who we do love internally, when it comes to their rights, this carries a message, a very powerful message. You are so worthless to me. You mean so little to me. Even your own huquq, even things that God has said are your rights, you're so meaningless to me, so worthless to me, that I don't have to observe your rights. By being unfair, it carries that message. The person will feel unloved. We have to make sure we address this. The hadith from Amirul Mu'mineen goes something like this. Al-mu'min, the believer is this person. In some hadith, it's read this way. In some hadith, I'll read it this way. Al-mu'min yunsifu man la yunsifuhu. The mu'min or mu'mina is that person who does insaf, who is fair to the person who's not fair to them. Not only fair to them, right? We're saying, how do I demonstrate love? Right? The mu'min is that person, even if the other person isn't fair. Allah has said that this is the way things are supposed to be done. Then I'm fair to the person. Al-mu'min, the believer, is the one who yunsif, he does insaf to the person. La yunsifuhu, the person who doesn't do insaf to him. What's another negative behavior that might, again, carry that message without us intending it? Arrogance. And arrogance, brothers and sisters, as they say in Farsi, it doesn't have a tail and horns. Sometimes my behavior is arrogant. My refusal to accept apologies is arrogant. Right? There's different ways that we demonstrate kibr, and this is a grave sin. When we look in the major sins, despairing of Allah's mercy, kibr. Arrogance also carries that message. We're showing that person, you don't deserve appropriate behavior. You're so worthless to me, right? I see myself as above you. I'm above you. So we might not have intended to make our family member, my brother, my sister, my father, my mother, whoever it is that I'm dealing with, circle of mu'mineen, I might not have intended that behavior, but it carries that message that I don't love you. So, what is it that Islam does teach us? So now, we know the topic, we know it's behavior, we know behavior carries a certain message, and we can do this behavior
with the niyyah. That's much better.
One of the things that does carry the message of love to our family members and those who are close to is humility, brothers and sisters. At-tawadhu, humility. Humility teaches other individuals that they are worthy of respect, that we notice them, that we love them. It's especially important for those of us who are in positions of authority to be humble to others. It might be a sheikh in a community. It might be a father, a mother, a parent. I have authority over others. I might be a boss, right? We have different roles. Humility. Now, humility, brothers and sisters, won't make us less of an authority. That's the other beautiful point for us to keep in mind. But we will be Imamul Qulub, as Imam Kadhim alayhi salatu wasalam taught us in that hadith that we read the other day. It's different to being Imamul Qulub and being Imamul Jusum. Imamul Jusum, I rule over, I'm an authority. You're scared of me, you fear me. Another time, I'm Imamul Qulub. I rule over the hearts. What the hadith tells us is tawadhu, and we will see some examples of Ahlul Bayt doing this, is, let's read the hadith from Imam Ali. He says, ثَمَرَةُ التَّوَاضُ the fruit of humility, al-mahabbah. When I'm humble in my interactions with my children, with my father, with my wife, with my husband, with my family, my siblings, that humility, the fruit of that is al-mahabbah. It creates love. I noticed you. You're important to me. You're deserving of respect. You are a human being. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ As God says in the Quran. God has granted other human beings respect. تَوَاضُ We don't have to be arrogant. And you see this in the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam as the ultimate authority. What did they do so that we, as their followers, would grow up healthy? That we would grow up with a sense of honor, that we would be able to very strongly say, Hayat min nadhilla, and stand up when it's the time to stand up, and not accept humiliation. They were humble with us. I'll give you an example. One example is the example of Imam al-Ridha, alayhi salam. And brothers and sisters, inshallah, we all get to go and do ziyarah of that imam. He says that if you come and do ziyarah of me, in three places I will come to do ziyarah of you. The imam will come when we're being handed our book on the right and the left-hand side. He'll come. So, anyhow, Imam Ridha. Let's learn from Imam Ridha. Imam Ridha, back in his day, he went to a public hammam. So, brothers and sisters, in those days, in the time of Imam Ridha, it wasn't like people had personal showers and saunas in their own home. They would have, let's say, a public sauna. You would go, you would be wrapped up properly. You would have, let's say, a loincloth or some kind of a garment, and you would go over and you would go to this public sauna. And then you would take some money, you would scrub your back or whatever, you would take your bath over in these kind of public hammam. So what happens is Imam Ridha alayhi salam goes to the public hammam, and a man sees the imam and he doesn't recognize the imam. And he tells the imam, he's like, can you scrub my back? Like you're going into this. So everybody's sitting there, you know, you scrub the person's back. So Imam Ridha, sure, why not? And he starts scrubbing the man's back. Other people start entering into the hammam. These other people, when they enter into the hammam, they recognize it's Imam Ridha, Hujjatullah ala khalqih. And he's scrubbing this guy's back. So they kind of let the guy know that's Imam Ridha. I don't know if they were, Assalamu alayka ya ibn Rasulullah. You know, it was Imam Ridha there. This poor guy was so ashamed, trying to apologize. The imam reassured him. He said, no, it's okay. And he continued to scrub his back. Humility. Does this mean Imam Ridha wouldn't be? No, an authority. Let me give you an example from one of our shuhada. Just that sometimes you and I, we have to discipline our children. We're an authority. We have to discipline our children. We have from a hadith, don't discipline when you're angry. Right? But I still have to go over and I'm not actually angry, but this behavior needs to be disciplined. One of our shuhada, he had to demonstrate, we had to put one of his soldiers in his place. He had messed up. And this guy was known as being a very strict commander. The punishment for messing up and being lazy and not doing his responsibility was that you would have to crawl in your uniform in front of the entire base. Right? You messed up, you didn't do... So this guy, he messed up, he wouldn't do his responsibility. And now his punishment is that in his uniform, in front of the whole base, everybody else is standing, and he's going to crawl in front of them. But you know what the general did? The commander of the base did, in order to make sure he preserved his karama and his dignity, he got on the ground with him. And he also crawled in his uniform as the commander of the base. As the commander of the base. Shahid Qasim Soleimani, one of the brothers who was captured during the imposed war, is telling this. As a young man, he said, I was 16 years old. I went over to the army base. He says, and I just really wanted to go over and participate in the battle. He said that we had a commander who was training us, and he was training us very well. This guy was well known, actually, as a top commander in training them. He said, but what he did was that he was making us do these different exercises, but he wouldn't participate. So we called him out in front of Qasim Soleimani. So Qasim Soleimani came over to review the troops to see if they were ready and in formation to be able to carry out the operation. He said, we called him out in front of him that, look, such and such, he is making us do these activities. He's very hard on us. But you know what? He doesn't do it with us. He said, Qasim Soleimani, he smiled and he didn't destroy the commander in front of them. He made sure he told them to do their responsibilities. Afterwards, he had a few words with the commander. Qasim Soleimani got in the truck and he left. When he left, the commander came back and said, oh, you think you're tough guys? Now I'm really going to do this? He said, we're going to dive into this muddy water and we're going to do this. And I'm going first. And then he dived in. And then all the men dived in into the muddy water with karama. So what do you think you know in the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt is the Prophet doing this for children? For instance, in the seerah of Rasulullah, the idea of passing salams to children. The Rasulullah, he goes over and he passes salams to you first. As a child, as a nobody, you don't know what you, right? How much karama do you have? They have in that story, they say that once Rasulullah, he was going to the masjid and then some children said, can you come and play with us? We want you to be our camel. And these children, they had Rasulullah and they were playing a physical game with him. He was being the camel. The mu'mineen notice it's time for salat. He's not there. They go to check, where's Rasulullah? It's time for prayer. Salman comes. He sees Rasulullah and then Rasulullah doesn't let him just go over and say, well, yalla! Time for salat, get off, move. He says, you have to ransom me from the children. Salman ransomed our Prophet with walnuts from children. Gave the walnuts, then Rasulullah went. In this way, preserve the karama of these children. Or they said that sometimes people would go over, for barakah, they bring their newborn child, bring the child over to Rasulullah. Rasulullah would go over and for instance, he would be kissing the child or doing something, making to offer the child, this baby would urinate on the clothing of Rasulullah. And so what happens, the parents would be so embarrassed, astaghfirullah. And the Prophet would calm them down, relax, it's okay, take care of the baby. After they left, he would wash his clothes. Instead of breaking the heart of that child, panic, the child, the parents so embarrassed, karama, at-tawadhu. The fruit of it, of course, is love, as we see from the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. Another one, which is, again, an act that shows love. We can do it with this niyyah. Generosity, brothers and sisters, and more than generosity, just not being attached to material things. So let's look at this hadith from Imam Ali. And then after that, the explanation and maybe inshallah, some examples. Again, from Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, Sababul mahabba as-sakha. Generosity creates love. Generosity creates love. We talked about the idea of giving gifts and how that creates love. We already spent some time on that. The Imam teaches us another principle, the idea that generosity and not being attached to the dunya, being able to give, spending on our families,
giving our families gifts, for instance, right? Not being attached to things. The message it carries for our family members, for other believers who are around us, is that you are more valuable to me than things. These things are for us to use, but you have a place in my heart that can never be the value of a human being, of a mu'min, or mu'min has nothing, never these things, that now because of a material thing, I feel differently about you, or I honor you, or I don't, or I... You're valuable. That message of love. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a parent. A father, and brothers and sisters, it's good for us as parents to train ourselves before we're tested, right? Or if we're children and we're dealing with our own siblings or our parents. I'll give you an example. Let's say there is a father or a mother, and we'll give you the example of a mother. In this example, this mother has a very expensive vase. And this vase was passed down through generations. It came from her grandmother and from her grandmother. Very expensive vase. It's kept in the house, and she loves this vase because it reminds her of her grandmother. Imagine she has small children in the house, and she wasn't able to put the vase in a place where it's safe. And she's practicing the first 7 years where the children are running and playing. They're not actually doing anything wrong. They run, and by accident, they knock over this expensive vase. The behavior of the mother is going to make, or going to send a message. There's one time when the mother's face crumples. She looks at that vase. The little kids are so embarrassed now. She looks at them. 100 times I've told you don't run in the house. Look at this. How am I going to fix this? What will I tell your relatives? The message is that things are more important than you. There's another time, the same mother, the vase breaks, and children know this is grandma's vase. But the mother, first she says, "Are you okay?" They're so ashamed. "Mommy, we broke this expensive vase." She says, "Allah forgive you. This, you're safe? Allah provides vases." So we have to train ourselves to not be attached. Although we have, inshallah, the best of this world and the next, we're not attached. We know sometimes Allah takes it away, as it says in that one verse of the Quran, Surah 3, verse number 140, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Such days we make rotate amongst the people. Sometimes defeats, sometimes victories, sometimes vases are broken, sometimes we lose vehicles, some different things happen. Again, we don't want to train our children to be lackadaisical when it comes to taking care of the property, especially once they get of age. That's not the message. But which one's more important? Which one's more important? That message of generosity. Another one, which is of course heavily emphasized by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, is the message of, again, behavior. Smiling, good akhlaq, and kind words in the family carry that message of love. The hadith from the Imam is from Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, "Sababul mahabba al-bishr." When you have a cheerful countenance, when you have a pleasant demeanor, you're smiling when you see people. This itself causes love in the family. There's some families where the people, you wonder if they've, maybe they don't know how to smile. They're serious. Malakul Maut visiting the house, always frowning. Never that, like Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, smiling. The hadith of the Prophet that said that the Prophet was like this, when he would speak to you, tabassama fi hadithi. He would smile when he spoke. Ibadah, hadith says, if you smile in the face of your brother, ibadah. This is so important, this idea of good akhlaq in the house, that we have a hadith where our Prophet, he had a wonderful dream, an amazing dream. One of those incredible dreams. And he told his companions, he said, "I had a such and such dream. I saw ajaib, strange, wonderful things." The companions insisted, "What did you see?" The Prophet said many things. One of them, one line was this. He says, "Wara'aytu rajulan min ummati." I saw a man from my nation. جاثياً على ركبتيه. This man was on his knees. It was the day of judgment. This man was on his knees. بينه وبين رحمة الله حجاب. Unfortunately for this individual, between him and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was a barrier. There was a hijab. The Prophet says something strange happened. فَجَاءَهُ حُسْنُ خُلُقِهِ. At this stage, that good akhlaq of this individual came. فَأَخَذَهُ بِيَدِهِ. It took him by his hand. وَأَدْخَلَهُ فِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. His good akhlaq took him by the hand and it made him enter into the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can save us, brothers and sisters. Ibadah creates mahabbah. It also removes the rancor and the hatred that's there. So you may have a family and there's issues like in any family. There's things we have to discuss. There's problems or issues. What happens is, if we can be those people who always have this cheerful demeanor, the Prophet has promised us in the hadith, he says, حُسْنُ الْبِشْرِ. So having that pleasant countenance, smiling, friendly, good akhlaq, these things, he says, يَذْهَبُ بِالسَّخِيمَةِ. If there was actually hatred, there were bad feelings before between me, there was rancor in my heart towards that individual, or vice versa, by the pleasant countenance, by smiling, by friendly, good akhlaq, this actually removes these things. So a parent and a child who are like this, the parent can end up bringing them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a much better way. Another thing that we find in the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is the idea of taking time, behavior also, taking time to write and express our love by writing. So in addition to spoken love and behavior, what about taking the time to write letters to one another? To take a card, for instance, and to write a few words in that card. You see in the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam that Amirul Mu'mineen, they tell us, him and Imam Hassan are both in the same town. But you look at that letter that he's written, so much love, the Imam puts it, letter 33, Nahjul Balagha. Over there, the love of a father to his son. What a letter. What happens is written love, it's usually when the person gets a chance to read over what they've written, they can read it when they're alone. We take our time and we can express our feelings. Sometimes when we're away from the person, let's say we write a letter while we're on a trip, or even we take some time to put our thoughts together, we can express our emotions very nicely when we write it. The person gets to read that over and over again and has a special effect on the person. It doesn't mean verbal love isn't important. It doesn't mean the other forms of behavioral expressions of love aren't important. But this writing letters to our family members, cards, an event where we can remember this family member, taking that time to write a few lines to them is also something that the Ahlul Bayt, that they would love from us. And many brothers and sisters haven't seen or haven't read that letter that Imam Khomeini, may Allah have mercy on his soul and raise him with his forefathers, with Ahlul Bayt, and of course the Anbiya alayhi as-salam, that letter he wrote, which is preserved, to his wife. Very beautiful. So Imam Khomeini, and we see him as the Arif, we see him as that Mujahid, we see him a person fighting the Shah, we see him have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How was he with his family? There's a video online, some people may have, well, those who can speak Farsi have seen it, where they take that love letter that Imam Khomeini wrote to his wife, without saying who it's by, and then just tell people, read this letter. And the people are just regular Iranians. They're reading the letter, they're so impressed. They say, who is this? This must be such, right? And they're like, this is from Imam Khomeini. And usually the reactions on the people's faces. Written love. It's another way of us going over and doing this. What we have from the Urafa is another way of us expressing love to our family members. And that is by playing games. They tell us, this is from, not from Ayatollah Tahriri, but someone who is at the level of Ayatollah Tahriri, another person who has the qualification, when he was saying that you should play games with your spouse, with your wife, you go over, the two of you play games in the house. And her inner child, she gets a chance to play games with you. playing physical games. I mean, he recommended, you know, certain games. You have a ball, you do this. Those games where we actually have fun together. That's another beautiful way of us, through our behavior, expressing our love for people. The last one that we want to talk about today is another one that's a freebie and maybe ignored, but we have to definitely put time into this and thought behind this, and that is the name that we use when we call our family member. So that name that we use, it could either have a negative meaning, right? Let's say we used, God forbid, a slur. Like some people use racial slurs when it comes to other members of the community, behind their back, right? Or sometimes when they're talking to people, they use terms that people don't like and that people find insulting, right? Or it could just be neutral, that I just call them by their given name, whatever it is. There's no love in it. What Islam encourages us, brothers and sisters, is to use the person's favorite name. What's the name that they would like? So there's one time when I just call my son, my daughter, my wife, I just call her by whatever or his or her name is, by their given name. Alhamdulillah, that's great. There's another time when I use a term of endearment, a name that they would love, a way that they like being addressed. And this is a freebie. How many times on a daily basis do we end up calling our wife or our children or our spouse or our husband, right, family members, and we could use a term that they love, right? We could add some term to their name and then express our love to that person. So the Prophet in this hadith, he tells us that there are three things that purify the love between a Muslim to his brother. One of them, he says, is that he meets him, يَلْقَاهُ بِالْبِشْرِ إِذَا لَقِيَهُ. When he meets this person, he meets the person with a pleasant countenance. The other one, he says, is that if you're sitting somewhere, your brother comes, then you make space for that person. Bismillah, come, bismillah, sit next to me. You're making space for that person. That's إِذَا جَلَسَ إِلَيْهِ, when he comes and he sits to make space for them. The third one that the Prophet mentioned, and this one I want to focus on, is وَيَدْعُوهُ بِأَحَبِّ الْأَسْمَاءِ إِلَيْهِ. When he calls this person, he calls them with أَحَبُّ الْأَسْمَاءِ, their favorite name. What's the name that they like? Not the name we like. What is the name that they would tickle their fancy when they're called by this name? The most beloved of their names. And you see, this is the seerah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only the instruction, but then the way that he behaved with people. At that time, the idea that people would use and Prophet used to show his love and his love for someone is to give them a kunya or call them by their kunya. Abu Fulan, Fulan. So the Prophet, he would call people, he would give people a kunya who didn't have a kunya. Other people, before that, they would call them Zayd, Bakr, whatever their name was. Now they would call them by that kunya. Abu Muhammad, Abu Ali, whatever their kunya was. He would call women by their kunya, the most beloved of the names. So, Fulan, he would call them by their names. And with women who didn't have children, he would also give them a kunya. At that time, that the way, like, let's learn the principle. What's the most beloved of this person's names to them? Let me call them by that name, which shows respect, which shows affection, which shows caring. He would call them by that name, even if they didn't have children. Fulan, how are you? What's going on? Everything okay? Salaamu alaikum, right? He would do that. The other thing is children. The Prophet would call children. So again, Rasulullah, the head of the entire society, comes to some small child running in the street, and he would call them Abu Ali, Abu Zayd, whatever there, he would give them a kunya, and he would call them by that, and he would soften their hearts and bring them to them. The other way, brothers and sisters, is God forbid if we use a humiliating name. Instead of us doing the opposite way, or even being neutral, is if, God forbid, we use a name the person doesn't like. There's a little bit of a scary story. There was an Ayatollah. And this Ayatollah, he passed, marhum. He passed. And when he passed, then someone saw him in a dream. When they saw him in the dream, alhamdulillah, he was in a great spiritual state. The person looked, and they noticed something was wrong with Ayatollah. Our dear Ayatollah, he had a problem. When you looked, it looked like his lips were rotting. His lips, they said they were full of pus in the dream. What was the problem of this Ayatollah, marhum? His wife, her name was Sakina, but his wife was short. To tease his wife, he used to call his wife Saku Khanum. Instead of, she liked the name, Sakina Khanum. That was a respectful way, a way of communicating love, respect, veneration. He would call her by this other name, and then in the hereafter, that's how they saw him, in the dream. So this is a way, and we're going to wrap up our discussion now, the idea of another way of through behavior, showing, in addition to the written love, in addition to these behavioral ways of demonstrating our love, this way of calling the person by their favorite name, using them in this, addressing them in this way, and the love that that can create. Inshallah, Allah accept what was said and heard in His way. He, inshallah, Allah helps us to create those loving bonds in our families, to break that curse. If we were in a family that wasn't loving, let's say we were raised in that way, or we haven't been loving up until now, to change our behavior so that our homes are sanctuaries where mu'mineen and mu'minat can grow and move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with greater ease and greater speed. We ask that Allah accept what was said and heard, that He liberate the globe with the return of our Master, and that He protect the mu'mineen and mu'minat, the mustad'afin, the maraja, our leader, Imam Khamenei, and of course, He hastened the reappearance of our Master, Imam Mahdi, with the barakah of salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Idha waqa'atil waqi'ah, ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود